The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight on Life on the Swing Set, we are continuing our discussion about swing clubs and sex clubs as Dylan and I continue our reminiscence of our wonderful first-time experience at Couples Playhouse in Chicago's southwest suburbs. I know you're not here to listen to me tell you what's coming up, so we're just going to get right on into it. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight are Dylan, Ginger, and Shira B. Katz.
So, there's a lot of clubs out here, and I don't know if any of them are swinger clubs. Like, I don't know if I can tell the difference between what a swing club is and a dungeon versus a sex club. Like,
I don't know how you define a sex club.
Well, okay, for example, there was a club out here, and it's had two iterations. It's called the Power Exchange, and for the longest time, it was just over on Otis Street in San Francisco, and then it kind of died due to political BS, which makes me very sad. And then it closed down, and it reopened in kind of a seedier part of the neighborhood. And I've never been there, but I'm kind of nervous to go there. So yada yada yada. That is what I always kind of referred to as a sex club. There was, for a super long time, there was a floor that was just for the gays, gay men. There was a floor that was for kind of mixed company, and then there was a downstairs dungeon. And I just kind of considered it a sex club. But obviously, like, swingers would go there, too. And then there's dungeons in San Francisco, and there's a lot of fetish places, and it's really cool, but I don't know if I've ever kind of identified, like, a swinger club versus just kind of, like, a sex club. So is there, like, a difference? Are there kind of just general sex clubs out there where you guys live, or how does that work?
I don't know. I'll have to start looking.
I would suggest that the big thing for swingers clubs is this group did feel like predominantly a community of people who were sharing an ideal, sharing a lifestyle, experiment called swinging.
And they all knew each other. They all felt like they were their own little community that went to that club.
Yeah. And what was really impressive is that it didn't feel cliquish at all. It just felt like a big community. It wasn't like there's this group over here and they're doing this stuff and then there's this group over here. It was everybody was just kind of hanging out and being part of the larger group that could be in any area here. And I think that's kind of what it is. That is the difference between a swing club and a sex club, because there are places that you can go to fuck and that's it in Chicago. Mm. And I think overall, those places don't cater to swingers because by and large, swingers aren't so much looking for the anonymous thing as much anymore. And I don't know that those clubs that you're talking about were so much anonymous either, but they may be more focused on the directly let's get to the sex thing than a place like this.
We had an interesting discussion with a few older swingers that were there. About the differences between swinging back then and now, you know, the whole key party thing, which I hadn't heard of until, you know, we had that discussion.
And I told him about how I want to be invited to Alice and Janney's key party from the ice storm. and know what, you know, have her know what my keys look like, and maybe she'll pick them.
You know, I think one, after talking to a lot of them, though, I realized that this club was really the only place that they do this at. They don't do a lot of swinging outside going to the club. Mm-hmm. This club or other, you know, kind of groupings were pretty much it. They didn't really socialize or integrate, you know, in everyday life with the people that they would meet at the clubs, at least in general. I can't speak for everybody, but I got that impression from most of the people that I spoke to about it, because I really was trying to compare and do a little compare and contrast, and, you know, also try and feel like a part of it. And I did feel like a part of it by the end of the night. A lot of the questioning was in the beginning. But I got that feeling that it wasn't different, or it wasn't bad or anything, or worse. It was just different, and I kind of liked that and liked hearing about it.
Dylan, I have a question for you. So when you said that those folks that you were chatting with didn't hang out outside of the club with the other people, mm-hmm. Do you mean like they only would swing at the club and not go on dates? I'm just curious.
I got the impression that the primary place that they went to meet other people and be swingers was at the swinger club, that they didn't do a whole lot of out-of-club dating.
I see. Yeah, I gotcha.
Or socialization.
Okay.
Most of the socialization was at the club. And because of that, because they did it every week or every couple weeks, it kind of became a clubhouse.
Right.
Like Cooper said, a community.
Well, and it's interesting, if you are a part of a club and you go regularly, it is very convenient because people just show up. There's always new people to meet because, there's always, I don't want to say they're refreshed, like people are refreshed. New people show up every single week. So you get to meet them. You don't have to go actively looking on a social networking site or a dating site or whatever. You don't have to do that piece of the puzzle. You can just meet people when you go to the club. And that definitely, I know that for Prof and I, when we can't make a party or can't make parties regularly or whatever, we've really missed that, because that is, I mean, we love the atmosphere. We love the dancing. We love seeing the friends that we do have already, but it is very convenient to just see a hot couple at the bar and say, oh, let's go chat them up.
Well, there's a certain simplicity to that. I mean, everybody knows that they're there to, to have sex with each other and to meet new people and to do all that. There's no more, you know, single person angst about, does this person want to fuck me, or are they really interested in me? At least I got that.
And there's also, you know, I've talked to a number of swingers who are club swingers, where they find they can't really break out of the club swinging life because the people they meet are also club swingers. And many of those club swingers, that's what they do every weekend, and that is when they swing. So to go to a club to meet someone and then expect to have a date on Friday, just the four of you, is perhaps not as likely as expecting to, hey, maybe we'll meet again at this club.
If you're going to a club every weekend and somebody wants to go on a date with you and you can't choose to not go on a date with them, that's kind of lame.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that you're less likely to find someone who's looking for that, you know, every few weeks date with you than someone who's looking for hey, well, next time you come, we'll be at the club. And we had a few couples who said, well, hey, if when you're coming back, we'll be around.
Sure.
Rather than, you know, let's exchange information and see each other outside of here. And I'm not saying that anyone, you know, either direction is wrong. I just do think there are two somewhat separate groups of swingers, and there are those who date and there are those who club.
I don't know about that. I don't know if they're separate.
I mean, I said
semi-separate.
I know. I know.
Let's get a Venn diagram.
Just like swinging and poly are drifting towards each other, these two areas are also drifting towards each other.
I hear what you're saying. There are club people. They like their club scene, and they like the convenience of, okay, next club date, we're going to go to the club, and that's great. I do think, though, that it boils down to what we've talked about over and over again in the non-monogamous lifestyle, is that the time is of the essence. Like, there is, you know, you can only date so many people and you can only go to clubs so many times. And so there is something to that, that if someone really loves the club, then they might do that. They might decide to really prioritize going to the club because they get the most, you know, bang for their buck, excuse me, in terms of seeing as many friends as they can. But I do think there are still people who like that, like friends with benefits, go out on dates, you know, just be four, just be three, whatever the setup is, and do the date thing too. I don't know. I think about it. Prof and I just had a hotel party that we co-hosted with another couple, and it happened to be on the same night as one of our local club parties. But because we wanted to party with this smaller group of, you know, more intimate group of friends, which was an awesome, rocking, fun time, but we did have to choose to skip going to the club. And right. It was well worth it because the party was so much fun and it was a great group of people and it was awesome. But we did have to choose because there are only so many weekends.
Right. Yeah, that's the big thing you encounter as swingers, is it's really hard to prioritize that schedule.
It's interesting, the whole dynamic between the different types of clubs.
It really was. Like. Yeah.
I feel like what you guys are saying about the clubs that you go to, it does sound a little bit more almost like a social group, like a group of people who normally get together, like
distinguished gentlemen, like a neighborhood,
sure, like a neighborhood bar or something where everyone knows your name. I haven't felt that so much at the clubs that kind of I have frequented, or not, I guess, occasionaled. At the clubs that I have yet to feel. I think the closest has been...
She occasionals clubs, huh?
I do. I occasional these places.
Rather than frequent.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And what I was saying was that I feel like... I feel like the places that you guys are telling me about sound a little bit more like friendly. The closest that we have over here that I've been around to has been the Citadel, which is a dungeon that's kind of smaller and it seems more neighborhood oriented. And I feel like maybe the BDSM clubs probably have a tighter knit crew and more of a community feel than some of the sex clubs I've been to.
It was definitely a very friendly atmosphere. There was never once where I felt on the outside of anything.
That's
which was
cool.
Not what I expected from a club.
I had an encounter with a guy. He was ringing as he was walking down the stairs. And I was walking up and I said, "Hey, you're Reagan." And he said, "Yeah, it was like something to do with a bet." And, you know, he basically had to put a pair of bells around his cock and walk around with them. And, you know, so there was some story time later about that, but it was just pretty funny.
Just along those lines, Shira, that I feel like we've been in clubs that are a complete range. The very small, kind of intimate, everybody knows your name sort of club, to the loud music pumping, low lights, ridiculous numbers of couples, like body to body kind of clubs, and everything in between. So
this is a good differentiating point. A lot of the places I've been to do allow single men
Really?
Yes.
Well, this the club we went to does allow single men.
Oh, okay.
But if they've been members for a while.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
And they have to have a rigorous screening, and they cannot go upstairs by themselves.
I see. Okay.
And actually, even attached men cannot go upstairs by themselves. Though honestly, I saw a few attached men wandering around upstairs without accompaniment. At certain points in the evening.
Interesting. Well, that does hit on a point that we haven't really spoken about, is the idea of membership. That oftentimes, in our experience, the clubs that we have been to, even if it's just a one-time attendance at a city that's not, you know, that's just kind of, we're out and about and we're on vacation or whatever, and we want to hit a club in another city, you have to go through a process where you apply. And
right.
Sometimes that's just an email and a statement, and I'm however many years old, and this is my partner, and you give names and whatever, to having to submit pictures to be approved, to, you know, and anywhere in between. And so, in some ways, I don't know supposed to make me feel better or worse or what, like, in terms of they know who's going to be there, sort of, because they've gotten a person's picture and their email and names that they chose to give for that night. And they can contact you again for whatever reason if they want to tell you about upcoming events or whatever. But beyond that, I'm not sure what purpose it serves. So,
well, I know part of the membership thing is to get around the fact that it's a sex club legally. Because there's a very interesting legal dance that all these clubs do, and it varies from state to state.
It honestly confused the hell out of me when I was first there, but I just went with it.
And so there is a membership at this club, and then there's also, you know, night of the party. But of course, they're not, they can't say that this is paying for your entry to the party. It's a donation, because you can't pay to attend an event that has blah, blah, blah. It's the same reason they can't sell alcohol.
Right. The on-premise and, clubs.
Yeah. So you have to bring your own alcohol. Right. So there's all sorts of weird, crappy legal dances that they have to do. And if they don't follow them to the letter, they can get raided. And boy, that would be a treat in the middle of the woods, being raided and having to run to your car with the only way out being blocked by police.
Wow, that's quite a visual.
There's always into the river.
There is a river running directly to a golf course.
So you're
at this
saying
club.
A river runs through it?
A river runs through it.
Oh boy.
Starring Robert Redford. Now I did want to mention that one of my big nervous issues before going to the club is, I'm sure, a nervous issue shared by many gentlemen before going to an environment like this, and that is the performance issue. And so I was packing. We were sent a product called Regenerect. And you can check out their website at the allnaturalbluepillformen.com.
Can I make one called SheGenerect?
Sure, but
SheGenerect.
Yes. In the vein of the last.
That goes
episode.
Along with the Sheeragor, Sheeragasm.
In fact, I have a Sheerection,
like,
right now.
Oh dear.
Oh my.
See what you inspire, Shira?
I know. I apologize.
It's inspiring.
So I...
Well, see, I was trying to plug this so I don't have to write a review of it, and you all just jumped all over it.
I'm sorry. So what is this?
Well, you know, I actually was considering taking something before I went, but I didn't want to have any of the expectations going and having to worry about stuff. So I just said, you know what? If things go well, and I see that I want to, you know, or that I have any issues, maybe I'll, you know, bring something for next time. But I just kind of I seriously thought about it, though, because I tried a couple of those before, and one of them worked, one of them didn't, and I've been kind of intrigued by the concept of taking a little pill before going to a club just to see what happens.
Well, it's a tremendous boost. You don't have to worry about any of that. And I know both of you ladies will probably say you shouldn't worry about that. And you're right. We shouldn't worry about that.
Hey, I can get a shoe erection anytime I want.
Except for the fact that sometimes you have no idea why it's not working.
Yes.
And that is a troublesome thing for most men when it's not working.
Hey, this is the honest moment of my life, but why do I not have an erection moment?
Exactly. And in especially in a group that you've never met before, in an environment that you've never been in before.
You know what? I will admit, you didn't see this because you weren't there. It was lingerie and boxers night, right? And so women in lingerie went up and did some dances to get prizes, and the men did it too, and I was one of the men, right?
Wait, yeah. Lingerie and boxers?
Yes.
That is a serious inequity, but continue.
Okay, if you can come up with anything that we could wear.
To an inequity. I'm serious, because, just trust me for a second when I say there was an inequity, but what I'm getting to is I've talked consistently about how I'm a grower but not a shower. And most
you have talked yes. consistently about
and most
that.
Of the guys or sorry most of the women and most of the guys actually ended up stripping almost completely naked. You're flashing some package and stuff like that, but I you know they pulled up all the new people earlier in the night and introduced us as new people, so of course I was a little bit nervous because of that. And then I come back and I'm there doing the whole, you know, I have to get up and dance to the music thing, and I have to admit I did kind of dance like a pro, but I wasn't confident in my sexuality at that point. Well, I was confident. Sorry, I wasn't.
You danced like a pro, and I wasn't there to see it.
I did. I had some pretty cool moves, and I had my socks on, so I was able to like spin and do all sorts of cool stuff, and it worked out nice. But at
Wait. Yeah. Let me just circle around here.
Okay.
You in boxers and socks.
I was in boxer briefs and socks.
Even better. Okay, go on. I'm just getting the visual.
Black boxer briefs and socks.
Okay.
And near the end is, you know, if you're doing a little strip tease, you of course have to take everything off, and everyone's like, take it off. And I got embarrassed because I didn't have an erection, and I didn't want to like show that I, you know, was a grower, because I felt conscious about it and self-conscious about it all of a sudden. And so I didn't want to take him off because of that. And I didn't, I fell to that trap, or I fell right
no
into that
pressure.
Trap.
No pressure.
Well, when people are screaming, take it off, there is a little pressure, let's be honest.
I wanted to have a rock-hard, full-on erection right at that point, so I could go, all right, and just really show it off. But I just didn't have it there, because, you know, I was...
I especially like the sound effects.
Did the other men have erections?
No, but the
well,
ones
then
that...
what?
But when they took their... Okay,
anybody who does not have a penis cannot really weigh in as much.
Guy
on
wearing
this
a banana
issue.
Hammock, okay?
Didn't I'm going to pull this number on you, but yes.
No, it's okay. Guy wearing a banana hammock did not have a constant erection, because I both saw him when he had an erection and didn't at different parts of the night. But when he didn't have an erection, he still had a very.
And he did a little comparing contrast.
Yeah, he had a very well defined. Penis that looked, you know, very good to anyone that would be interested in that sort of thing. And so God, I am just looping around.
This is where you add up.
Back talking.
I personally was not.
You have all just anyway, so we're and so the other guys that did, you know, one
he's
one of
telling
them,
us a very sad story, ladies.
One of them took off his pulled his boxers down to like his knee level and started swinging around his junk, you know, like it was, well, okay, like it was kind of a cowbell or something. And the visual of that is hilarious, but again, he was a shower, so while he didn't have an erection, you could, you know, see everything, and it, you know, looked pretty normal sized. Me, if I did that, I'd just look like a pair of balls and, you know, a little one inch ditty thing, because it's like, well, I not showing at the time, and so I got embarrassed about that, because any other time, if I am even the least bit excited, it's really nice and full staff, and I'm happy with myself. But right there,
see, now, Dylan, I will give you the contrast to that, because of taking this pill, and this is one of those that's not a continuous thing, but any type of little stimulation gets you, bing, you know. So just wandering around the place, I was like, okay, now I'm just walking through this room just with a big ol' hard on.
See, I could almost see where that would be just as big of a problem.
That would be inconvenient, I'm thinking.
Maybe. In a sex club, why would that be inconvenient in a sex club?
Well, I don't know.
You're never in a room with a bunch of guys.
Well, that's when it was weird.
Yeah.
I was just standing around having a conversation.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, can I just circle back around and say I do not approve of junk swinging, just as a rule. That's not, if you're trying to seduce me ever, just leave your junk in your boxer briefs.
I will make sure that if I ever give you a present, it will not be in a T form.
Yeah, and step one, you cut a hole in the box.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's flashing back several years. Oh, how's that for current?
I appreciate it.
We're going to be right back after some words from our sponsors that are keeping us on the air. So listen up.
Hello, listeners. You know, a lot of sex toys come across our desks here at Life on the Swing Set. Some of them are good, but many are forgettable. Then there are the products from Close to You. These toys are musically named because music is the language of passion. They rise to the top, superior instruments of pleasure that you can't wait to play with again and again. Close to You's entire line of toys are the cream of the crop. Their vibrators and anal beads are elegant, soft, and most wonderfully waterproof. Pick up Close to You's Rhapsodia anal beads today at EdenFantasies.com. Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Okay, we're back. Okay, Shira, I will let you ask any questions you want without criticizing you for not having a penis, if you want.
No, it's all good. I'm just going to I'm gonna sit back and think about junk swinging now.
I'm just going to imagine you with a strap on, and then you'll all of a sudden have a whole hell of a lot of credence.
I should totally try that.
Please.
Ginger, next time I see you, I'm totally going to come walk up to you with a strap on and swing it around. It's going to be excellent.
Please do. I saw Ginger with a strap on. It was pretty good.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. I was right next to you while you were fucking Marilyn. With the strap on. Oh.
Yes, you were.
Yes, I was.
Oh my gosh. I I think you were providing moral support, if I'm not mistaken.
did somebody need moral support?
Well, it was, okay, maybe more physical support. I don't know, leverage? Leverage. Leverage. Yes, strap-on. I don't know. I think strap-on, strap-on junk swinging may be different from unnatural junk swinging. I don't know. It's just a thought to consider.
To get back to the club portion of our conversation.
Well, this was a derailed thought that, you know, if you are having concerns about will you be able to perform, there is no shame in taking a little assistance.
Point taken. And I'll remember how you interrupted Shira about 15 times when you are doing your outro today.
Yeah, I'm just going to start recording the outro without you. I'm going to hang up on you before I do it. How about that?
The one last thing I did want to ask, because this was a few years ago that where I was in a situation that I was completely caught off guard and I didn't quite know what was going on, and this happened in a club, and so I'm curious about swinger club etiquette.
Ooh, okay.
So I think at the time I was a little bit younger. I was in my early-ish 20s. And yes, that was so long ago. But I seriously, I was in a situation. I was with my primary partner, and we were in a sex club in a kind of couples environment. And I guess I didn't really know what I was getting into. This is long before I'd met any swingers or anything of that sort, but me and my partner had gone there to be together or maybe see what would happen. But our primary goal was just to have a public place to play together. And so we went to this club. And there were kind of rooms everywhere. There were some more private rooms. There were some more open rooms. We kind of chose this semi-private. It wasn't just like a bed out in the middle of a big place, but it was like a bed in a room with one wall missing, so kind of people could go in, and there was sheets hanging. It was kind of cute and sexy, and we started going at it, and it was just me and him on the bed, and all of a sudden, before I knew what was going on, there were people, like, touching me, and I didn't know what was going on, and it wasn't like, they weren't, like, grabbing at my junk or anything, but, like, I would feel something in my arm, and I'd look over, and there'd be some lady, and she was, like, running her finger down my arm, and I'm like, why are these people touching me? What's happening? And so, like, I kind of get, like, a little bit squicked out, and so I tapped my partner on the shoulder, and proceeded to pull him over to some couches, and I gave him an amazing blowjob while these very, very hot black guys were behind me kind of watching, and it totally turned me on, and we finished up, and it had a really happy ending at this, it had a happy ending. Of course it had a happy ending. But it wasn't until I left the club entirely where I was like, why were those people touching me? What was going on? Where I was like, oh, maybe that's like something, like maybe that's some like swinger thing where they were like asking permission to engage or something, because they weren't like grabbing like my genitals or like trying to engage. They were just kind of brushing up against me. So is there like a code? Is there something?
Well, in general, swinger etiquette is don't touch until you ask.
Is that right?
However, I would imagine that a girl just gently running her fingers on your arm is her polite way of asking without saying, hey, cute girl, can right. I touch you in the middle of your hot sex that you're having? So, I mean, for me and I imagine most swingers I know, that little gentle caress type touch is an acceptable entrees, but not a just direct grab for the boobs, obviously.
Yeah, and I felt so bad because it freaked me out. And then I felt like I was being, like, totally prudish. It just, like, I had no idea, and I was so undereducated at the time.
When, you know, on the club tour, he did specifically say, do not touch unless you ask. And there is a lot of that etiquette. Like, if you're in a room and you want to be alone, close the door. If you're in a room and you want to be watched, leave the door open.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot to it like that, but it all comes down to a general sense of propriety. You know, you have to be able to get, now I'm completely lost. Ginger, you had something to say.
I did. Well, just having been in those circumstances, I think that it really does help, because there are times when you'll be in a public space where you don't want to have the door closed. You do want to be watched and maybe even have people near you but not touching you. Mm-hmm. And that's that's awesome. Like, that's an entirely great option. And I do think that anyone who's touching is overstepping. And that's me. I will directly, loudly ask. I would be the one who said, "Hey, cute girl, can I touch?" You know, it might be a little sexier than that. And I might, like, you know, get up a little closer and say it a little more sensually. But to ask, even if you interrupt a vibe, I mean, it's better to ask than to freak somebody out. And mm-hmm. So I think, and that goes for men or women, because I don't think it's a lesser intrusion if you're a woman touching a woman. So I'll just say it point blank.
That's a good point. I'd kind of forgotten that there were women that were not bisexual.
Because yeah. It's been so prevalent. Oh, gosh.
I met quite a few women at the club that were pretty obviously straight. Not necessarily because, you know, anything happened, but just you could tell with the way they were familiar or not familiar with, you know, the other people that they knew, as opposed to all the guys. And that was kind of cool.
Oh, Ginger, you totally made me feel better. Like, all these years, I'm like, I probably made that nice swinger lady feel really bad.
No, you know what, though? I think you absolutely, number one, should not feel bad. And number two, I mean, you should always, and this is like everybody, should always feel okay about uninviting someone from touching you when it's not welcome. And even if it is a gentle touch on the arm, because Prof and I have been in that circumstance where we've been in a public space at group parties or, you know, group events or whatever, because we do enjoy playing with one another when there are people all around us. And I have pointedly said to people who've done that very casual touch on the arm, and it's very friendly and very unintrusive, but it's still touching. Mm-hmm. And I will literally stop right where I am, whatever it is, and just look right at the person and say, "No, thank you." I don't care if I come across as a bitch. This is my body, and you will.
Well,
not
and that's
touch
where
it
you're supposed to go with that.
That's powerful. Like, yeah, I
you're supposed to always be okay with saying no, thank you, or no.
I just think I put it in the perspective like this, Shira. I say, essentially, it's not about you feeling uncomfortable. It's about them having overstepped. And again, it's not to say it's mean-spirited or creepy or anything at all, because oftentimes it's not. And in some cases, that type of touching as an entree can work in certain circumstances with certain friends, given, you know, certain trust levels and all those things. But I think ultimately the sexiest thing is consent and asking direct, clear consent for touching someone. And then that way it's just not ambiguous. It's not, oh, I don't know if I should be touching this person, and you don't know if you're creeping them out or taking them out of their vibe when they just want to be with their partner. Or like you mentioned, Dylan, if it's someone that you're touching and you don't know if they are into your particular gender or just you in general. I mean, unless it's someone that you've had a previous conversation with to say, if I see you later in the night, I'd love to whatever, and get that pre-consent. I just think I don't know. Sometimes it seems like a very obvious stopping of the action to ask, but I ultimately think that's really sexy. And there are some people that maybe don't feel like it's sexy or feel like it's awkward or feel like it's awkward to ask, but I just feel much more comfortable after I ask, engaging, doing things that I know I have permission to do.
I think that's a very good point. And actually hearing you talk about it makes me feel a little bit more confident about kind of sticking up for my personal boundaries.
That's pretty fair. And I think in certain situations there are people where they want to be the opposite of that, but that's okay, because there's probably some sort of signpost for that happening. So
and then I think the last thing that I really kind of wanted to address is, like, what do you do when you're in a situation where you're kind of propositioned, where, like, maybe you're super into it but your partner, like, clearly isn't? How do you navigate those social situations in a club? There was another instance where, like, very cute guy in a latex shirt came up to me and he's like, "Hey, do you guys want to play with this super cool flog?" And, like, came over to be my partner, and I was like, "This sounds like so much fun! Yeah, yeah, yeah!" And I got all puppy dog excited. I look over at my partner and he's just, like, looking mortified.
Well, I'll tell you, most of the evening was like that for me, just because of what happened. You just kind of gotta play it cool. And I decided to play it a little more cool and not commit to doing anything before, catching a glance at Tonya just to see what she was thinking or feeling at the time. So I think a little bit of nonverbal communication and not just jumping into it right away without checking in real quick was a good way to deal with that. And, actually, I think that's a good way to deal with anything in general.
Yeah, I agree. I tried to go the same way. I kind of had to learn after that first experience not to get so excited quite so quickly without kind of peeking over at the partner for consent.
I've had to do that before too, Shira. I'm totally in that boat where I've been like, "Oh my god, no, well,
Well, also, there's boundaries within play in general. That we were with a couple and they didn't seem ready to go in an equal swap direction. So when Marilyn looked over to me to see if it was okay for her to have sex with him, I just gave her a little, just a little tiny shake of the head, and we moved on.
I was just wondering how you guys in particular dealt with it personally, because I know that our listeners might come into that situation, since I did, and I haven't gone very often. So for me, I just tried to backpedal a little and be like, "Oh, thank you so much for offering," but I was curious how you guys would handle that. Do you think there's a lot of taking one for the team out there?
I think unfortunately there is, and there shouldn't be. We should all feel comfortable with not proceeding with anything that we don't want to do, and we really shouldn't ever do anything we don't want to do. But that is rather pie in the sky thinking, and I do know a lot of people do wind up taking one for the team. One thing that Marilyn and I have struggled with is that she will get very engaged with one half of a couple and sort of to the detriment of all else. And then, it's a lot about getting her attention to give her the "I'm not feeling this" code. And, one thing, it is nice to have a unicorn with you because you can send her into battle to retrieve the wife. And it's real easy for a sexy naked girl to retrieve another sexy naked girl from any situation.
Without it feeling like a...
Yeah, without it like being a direct situation. Rejection. Yes, exactly.
Well, I also think there's something to be said, circling back around to my no thank you, to just say... No, thank you. I hope you have a really sexy night, though, and just let it be what it is and not feel... I mean, if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. And there's no judgment there. It just is. And so being comfortable and practiced at saying no thank you. And the only way it gets easier is if you do it when you need to do it.
Absolutely. So now how do I wrap it up?
Prophylactics.
Excellent. Prophylactics. Yes.
Well, see, what you do is you put
bring
the condom
condoms.
Between your teeth and your lips. And then you slowly... never mind.
So apparently Dylan does a lot of condom putting on with his mouth.
Oh, I love that. That's so much
now,
fun.
Do you put it on yourself with your mouth? Because that's a trick.
I right wish you could, but Ginger, I'll tell you, if I see you with a strap-on again, I will put the condom on your strap-on for you.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally... That will happen, period.
All right.
I'm just saying, now that you've said it, and everybody's heard it,
so and
that will happen.
While Ginger and Dylan research flight prices... you at home can contact us through a whole number of means, including text, which we tried tonight for the first time. We got a few texts. First is to ask Ginger if she is wearing her special necklace, and that is from J&J.
Oh, yes, I am right now. And Jay of J&J, which you don't really know which one it is, but Jay knows, has a special...
Gotta love initials.
Oh, I know. He has a special little thing he likes to do to my necklace, which always makes me tingle.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's intriguing. We also got a message from RNK saying, thanks for everything y'all do. You make our attempt at a life on the swing set seem so much less formidable.
Yay! Aww. That's
thank
that
you,
validates
RNK.
My entire podcast existence. Thank you.
You have successfully validated Dylan, so now he can park for half price. You can text us at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. Or you can leave us a voicemail at that very same number. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. Follow us on Twitter at SwingsetLife. We also have, actually, all four of us are on Twitter right now, aren't we?
Woohoo! We are
finally all on Twitter. That's awesome. So we'll put all the Twitter feeds up so you can follow every one of us. And, you know, that's very exciting for you. Email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. And that's it. So, Dylan, you have anything you want to say?
I don't know why you would ask me that question.
So quiet when called out in the outro.
Well,
so
I know that was really impressive.
Quiet.
Although I have one more thing. Folks can review us on iTunes.
Yes,
go, Ginger.
Give us as many stars as you want.
No, but the more important part is actually writing that review.
Oh, okay.
The stars are great and we love them, but if you could write even one sentence about your feelings about the show, especially, hey, say RNK, that would be wonderful if you could write that on iTunes.
For example, when I review tonight, I will be, I miss Angry Cooper.
Angry Cooper may visit your house. So thank you, Ginger and Shira and Dylan. A very special thanks to Couples Playhouse for having us out, and we will be back, and hopefully the next time Ginger and maybe Shira come into town, we could do a big visit to Couples Playhouse, and that would be really, really awesome.
That'd be excellent.
And thank you all, listeners, for swinging by.